Hello, and welcome to the Conscious Hoofbeat Podcast. This is a podcast that explores the interconnectedness of our health and the health of our horses through self-care, mindfulness, and personal development, along with a little equine wisdom and wellness. I am your host, Dr. Pamela Maynard, the passion-driven equinologist. I have dedicated my life to the horse. Some call me a fanatic, and I claim it, because I'd rather be dead than horseless. I'm a published author and researcher, equine body worker, energy facilitator, and I am passionate about deepening the human-horse experience. Join me here every Monday where I share my spiritual journey with horses, woo-woo horse care practices, and shared lived experiences from horsewomen around the world. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Conscious Hoofbeat Podcast. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Dr. Pamela, and I help devoted horse owners holistically care for and support their four-legged family members to be happy, healthy, and sound well into their senior years. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy horse schedule to listen. And today I want to talk to you about why I don't feed my horses beet pulp. I find that a lot of people really aren't aware of exactly how sugar beets are harvested and processed. And if you haven't heard my story about my mare who was sprayed by agricultural chemicals, you can go to conscioushoofbeat.com and read Arabica's story and get your free download, 3 things you can do right now to optimize your horse's health. Until you've actually experienced extreme chemical toxicity, one isn't always fully aware of how chemicals are affecting their horse. My experience is just one of the many reasons why I'm so passionate about promoting a chemical-free barn. And beet pulp and rice bran too, just a little side note, they're processed byproducts widely used as a feed supplement for livestock. It is a waste product basically from the sugar manufacturers, and it's loaded with sugar and the chemicals that are used for extracting the sugar and that are sprayed on this herbicide tolerant crop. Most sugar beets are genetically modified to withstand the spraying of these chemicals. Do you know where most of those chemicals end up? In the byproduct. The glyphosate from these quote-unquote Roundup Ready sugar beets significantly reduces the uptake of minerals, which kills bacteria in the hind gut. Glyphosate is a synthetic compound widely used as an herbicide. And I know this because I live on a farm. And I smell the chemicals in the air after it rains. And I have a younger horse who's had hind gut issues because all the runoff from when it rains, the runoff from the fields ends up in my ditch hay. And so even though I'm not spraying my hay, it ends up in the grass, it ends up in the hay, and youngsters haven't developed an immune system yet. And it's screwing up his microbiome. Luckily, I have tools in my toolbox to support this, but it's still not fun and it's still a process because sometimes what happens is he gets gassy and then we have gas colics, and that's not fun, right? One animal study by a group of European researchers, and this was published in the journal Environmental Health Perspectives, they found that low levels of the weed-killing chemical glyphosate and the glyphosate-based Roundup product can indeed alter the composition of the gut microbiome in ways that may be linked to adverse health outcomes. The effects of glyphosate on the gut microbiome were found to be caused by the same mechanism of action by which glyphosate acts to kill weeds and other plants, the researchers said. The microbes in the gut include a variety of bacteria and fungi that impact immune functions and other important processes. And a disruption of that system can contribute to a range of diseases and health concerns. Imagine that. Dr. Michael Antoneau, who's head of the Gene Expression and Therapy Group within the Department of Medical and Molecular Genetics at King's College in London, stated, both the glyphosate and the Roundup did have an effect on gut bacterial population composition. We know that the gut is inhabited by thousands of different types of bacteria, and a balance in the composition and function is crucial for health. Therefore, anything that negatively disrupts the gut microbiome has the potential of causing ill health. Why is that? Because we go from balanced functioning, that is conducive to health, to imbalanced functioning, that may lead to a whole array of different health issues and diseases. In addition to glyphosate, sugar beets are sponges for arsenic, which is an issue in the soil near many of the refineries. DCDID, which stands for disodium, and I'm going to probably not pronounce this right, cyanodithiamyocarbonate, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, if you can't pronounce it, you probably shouldn't be ingesting it. DCDID, the chemical that's used to strip the sugar from the beets, is a toxin banned from use as a pesticide. But for some reason, it's supposed to be okay to feed it to our horses and beet pulp. I'm like, I'm not really sure how or why that works. But at any rate, it is not unusual to see beet pulp as a primary ingredient in some senior and performance feeds because it is highly digestible. Dogs can eat some pretty icky things and survive, but horses aren't always so lucky. And beet pulp is a great fiber source for dogs to help balance the lack of fiber in meat and other dog food ingredients. But on the contrary, horses should be getting plenty of fiber in free choice grass hay. And we also need to take into consideration that the transit time in a horse's gut is 24 to 36 hours. This leaves ample time for absorption of any potential toxins in the feed, compared to a dog whose food goes through the digestive tract very quickly. Think about that for a moment. Beet pulp fed for hydration should not be confused with water retention, and I see this a lot in areas that get more extreme cold. They'll get out the beet pulp thinking they're helping, you know, get water in the gut, but water retention is indicative of dehydration. And water weighs 8 pounds per gallon. So I know a lot of people are like, oh, I can't take my horse off the beet pulp because he loses all this weight. And they can. They can lose like 50 pounds and it seems like overweight. But it's water weight, see. If you stop and think about it, that horse is carrying around about 5 gallons of dead weight. It takes 4 molecules of water for each molecule of sugar in order for the pancreas to process the sugar. So when a horse is toxic, they will drink more water to flush their system. And this also contributes to water retention. Like, the horses know what they need far better than we do. And as an intuitive wellness practitioner, I take into consideration what tests the best for each individual horse. I use the bioenergy analysis technique to create custom wellness plans for devoted horse owners. From my experience, supplements and feeds that contain beet pulp, they do not test well at all. And I would venture to say this is because of the heavy chemical toxicity found in the byproduct. Anytime we put toxins in our body or our horse's body, we weaken the immune system and lower our vitality. When I do my intuitive readings, I always ask, what's the primary health concern and what's the secondary health concern? Almost every time, chemical and emotional are the primary and secondary health concerns with each horse. Rarely do I see physical come up as primary. Not that they don't have physical issues, but that's not their primary health concern. It's the chemicals or the emotional stuff that manifests into the physical health problems. Bottom line, I strive for optimal health with my horses and my clients' horses. I always start by clearing the liver, and chemicals are the main culprit for liver congestion. I offer alternatives to conventional and commercial feeds and supplements because I've experienced firsthand what it's like to lose a horse to chemical exposure and toxicity. Now, Arabica lived several years after the incident, and she was happy and healthy after we went through a major awful detox. But in reality, it did shorten her lifespan, and it sucked because I lost a really good riding horse way sooner than I should have. So at the end of the day, it's really up to you to decide what optimal health looks like for your horses. I'm just the messenger. I'm just providing the information so that you can make an informed choice. Some may argue my approach to horse care. However, I believe that those who argue this are not aspiring for optimal health at the subtle, energetic, cellular levels. And if you eat fast food most of the time, then you probably won't mind feeding your horse chemicals. It's a life choice. It's as simple as that. But I want to challenge you today to ask yourself, what level of performance do you want? And what level of health do you want for your horses? And if you've been dealing with like weird lameness issues, allergies, or your horse has a history of being hot, irritable, nervous, or anxious, you may want to consider reducing the chemicals you put in your horse's body. I really want to encourage you to start observing the obvious and be open to exploring chemical-free options to taking care of your horse and what you expose them to. Some may consider my unconventional ways of horse care a bit woo-woo, and honestly, maybe they don't work for everyone. I get that, and that's okay. It's what makes the world go round. But if you're interested in reducing vet bills and increasing your horse's quality of life, then I want you to consider this your personal invitation to join me in my private arena. Go to ConsciousHoofBeat.com, sign up for a free discovery session, and I would be more than happy to help you figure out some ways you can eliminate chemicals in your horse's life. If you enjoyed this podcast, please like, subscribe, and share. Until next time, listeners, embrace your inner horse crazy, and more importantly, enjoy your horse.